it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Here we go. It's hour number five of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. A little bit of a developing news situation with the Eagles visiting the Giants for Thursday Night Football coming up in like an hour and 15 minutes. We go to across the console where Wolchuk has your breaking news.
Yes, no Jalen Carter tonight for Philadelphia. They will be without their stud defensive tackle. He has a heel injury. He was supposed to go out there for pregame warmups, kind of test this out. He ended up saying hello to his agent, Drew Rosenhaus, and then talked with Howie Roseman and didn't even have the workout. So I guess on a short week, they said, nope, we're not going to do this. So a big loss, and hopefully the Giants can run all over him now.
This game is massive right here. I think the division is still doable for the Cowboys, but it's going to have to involve the Eagles coming back to earth in a way. And I think statistically that is predictable. But, man, they had such a great and fortunate run early in the season where they beat the Rams, the Chiefs, and the Buccaneers. And now their schedule's not that tough. So who else could they lose to that maybe you consider them to be better than? I don't see Tyrone Tracy on the Giants inactive. So he's playing tonight. I don't see any offensive line. Oh, Evan Neal is out for the Giants, but I don't see any other offensive linemen out. So I guess Andrew Thomas is in, and that's got to be the path is running it against these Eagles. And the Giants obviously having success against the Philadelphia offense. That's something that I think we kind of expect now. It's because of their front. But Joe Person covers the Panthers for The Athletic, and he joins us now here on 105.3 The Fan. And a good evening, Joe. How the heck are you out there?
What's going on?
Man, we're trying to figure out how confident we should be in a Cowboys dub here. I guess the point spread sitting at 3. Do you have a prediction for the game yet?
You know, I've watched the Panthers the last couple of years here. They'll follow up a good, promising outing with a bomb, a stinker. They did it just a couple weeks ago, where they got their first win of the season. They crushed the Atlanta Falcons. And Michael Penix had a terrible game, so it was 30-0. You're thinking, okay, maybe they're figuring some stuff out. And then they go up to New England and they lose by about the same. They lose by 29 points. So as you know, they've kind of win one, lost one, and then they win last week. They come from behind to beat Miami. I don't think they're going to beat Dallas. I don't think it's a great matchup for them. I think Dak is, they were able to dig out of a 17-0 hole last week because Tua didn't play particularly well. The Dolphins defense could not do anything to stop Rico Dowdle, as you guys certainly know. And I don't know, it was a very favorable matchup for the Panthers to be able to, heck, the 17-point comeback matched their biggest comeback in team history. So, you know, you'd like to think they could build on it, but I've just seen, as I said, too many times where they just kind of, I mean, their longest, they haven't won more than two games in a row since Matt Rhule's second season. The first, they started 3-0 in 2021, and since then, it's been a whole lot of losses and an occasional two-game win streak.
Is the home field anything? I saw they're scoring 28 points, or is that just more a reflection of who they've played at home so far?
I think so. Yeah, they had the Falcons and the Dolphins, as I mentioned. I mean, Bryce Young has never won on the road. So, and again, I think he's only got 7 or 8 wins, period. So it's not like that big of a discrepancy. And he did win in Germany last year against the Giants, but that was a neutral field. It technically was a home game. All of which to say is the other thing we see here in Charlotte a lot is that the opposing team will come in and kind of take over the stadium. And it's not every week. You know, I don't mean to suggest that, but I don't need to tell y'all. I mean, the Cowboys, they bring people. They've got folks in every town and every NFL city. And so you got to be careful if you're the Panthers that you don't turn this into like the Star North.
How are they looking health-wise, Joe? Is this something where they might be down a starter on the offensive line?
Yeah, it doesn't look super good so far this week for their right tackle, Taylor Moten. He's missed the first 2 days of practice. He's got an elbow. I talked to him today, actually, and he said he's just kind of listening to the trainers. This is a guy who he had until last season. He had a pretty remarkable, a franchise-long Ironman streak that finally, for a position player, not a kicker or a long snapper. But so if he's close, he'll play, and they need him. I mean, that their third tackle, a guy named Yosh Nyman, is not very fleet of foot, struggles with speed rush, and you know, this is a team that they've spent a lot of money on their offensive line, especially in the interior last offseason, 2024. To protect Bryce Young, and they've done a pretty good job of that, but it would suffer without Taylor Moten.
Joe Person here covers the Panthers for The Athletic with you here on 105.3 The Fan.
So the rookie, Tet McMillan, we were kind of interested in him here during the draft when it comes to playing for the Cowboys. He hasn't found pay dirt just yet, but is he sort of meeting most of the expectations had for him?
For sure. He's legit. He and listen, they took a first-round wide receiver last year, albeit with the 32nd pick. They traded up with the Bills to get in there and get Xavier Leggett out of South Carolina. And he's been a bit of a disappointment. Not Tetero McMillan. He's one of the guys that just he makes it look effortless. He plucks the ball with his hands. You know, you're not seeing any, like, you know, body catches. He runs real good routes. You know, he is not like straight ahead speed, like the fastest guy, but he is plenty fast enough. Yeah. It's weird. We talked to him about that today. You know, he's had all, you know, pretty great start to his career, but as you said, has not had a touchdown catch. And someone said, have you practiced your touchdown dance? And he said, no, I'm just going to wing it. Like, I kind of just want to get in there and taste it and go from there. But good player. He's clearly has the trust of Bryce Young. I don't know if you guys saw this at the draft, but it came out pretty quickly after they took him at number 8 that he and Bryce had worked out once during the pre-draft. That they're both Southern California guys. A lot of them go to these same places, and this was one called 3D QB out in Southern Huntington Beach, California. So the story goes, that's been confirmed by the Panthers folks, is after that workout, Bryce started, you know, pounding the table with Dan Morgan, the GM here, and Dave Canales to go get this receiver for him. And they went and did it.
Hey, Joe, you know, the Panthers have kind of struggled with the continuity with coaching staff and things like that. Do you feel like that David Tepper is a little bit more patient now with what's happened in the past? And then the job that maybe that Dave Canales has done, are they going to...
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Be a little bit more patient with him, give him some more time here?
I think so. I mean, they are working at that to try to get him more patient. Sorry, yeah. my dogs came in the room and threw off my train of thought. Yeah. No, certainly he likes this. I mentioned Canales and Dan Morgan. The third sort of member of the power trio is a guy they hired away from the Chiefs, and he's their cap guy named Brant Tillis, and he's a sharp guy. He'll probably be a GM either here or somewhere else down the road. But Tepper really has a lot of faith in all three of those guys. I mean, you know, look, like, patience can only go so far in this business with these owners. And so I'd never say never, but, you know, It'll be interesting. Like, they got to get out. The thing they've got to accomplish this year, and I don't think they quite did it last year, is to get to the end of year three with Bryce Young, and you're either like, yep, he's our guy, or no, he's not. Sure. I mean, and I don't know. I mean, he has flashes, but you know, I think somebody told me, another executive with another team, I was doing a piece on Bryce a couple weeks ago, and he said it best. He said, Bryce, in his opinion, is the kind of quarterback you can win with. You won't necessarily win because of him. And I kind of thought he kind of hit it on the head.
Do you think watching Darnold and Baker have success elsewhere is going to make them maybe more patient with Bryce Young?
It's a great question. You'd think so, yeah. I mean, they were cycling through quarterbacks just as fast as they were head coaches there for a while. And, you know, they tried about every means possible. And there were some pretty short leashes. And, you know, Teddy Bridgewater, if he was the one exception that did not go anywhere else and become a, you know, one of the league's top passers. But certainly Darnold and Baker did, and heck, it's especially painful for the Panthers. I mean, they got to see Mayfield twice a year, and I'm not sure they've beaten them yet. In fact, I know they haven't. So, it's sort of like the question with Canales. I mean, how patient can you be with a guy? Like, they're trying their best. Like, you know, I mentioned the two wide receivers they've drafted back-to-back years in the first round. They built up their line. They've got the running game in pretty good order with Hubbard and Dowdle. So, I mean, at some point, it's on Bryce to put games on his back, put the team on his back, and, you know, win some games because of what you did. And he had a couple of them last year. He did. But this year, turnovers have been an issue with him. He played well the second half against Miami, but a lot of that was handing the ball off to Rico Dowdle.
So how big of a storyline is Rico versus his former team? He certainly caught the attention of the locker room with his buckle up comment postgame.
It's been fun. I love that kind of stuff. Like, and I mean, none of it really means anything, right? But I cover the Falcons years ago. I'm dating myself, but the Dirty Birds, when they went to the Super Bowl with Jamal Anderson and Eugene Robinson, all these guys, and that team would talk so much junk, and it was Ray Buchanan was a corner. I remember at the Super Bowl in Miami, Ray Buchanan getting into it with Shannon Sharp, who was with the Broncos. It was just fun. It's like you don't hear about as much of that these days. Everyone, you know, they have media handlers, and they're so polished, and they put their guards up, and they don't say anything all that interesting. So I have welcomed Rico Dowdle spicing things up for the last week or so.
Yeah, we certainly enjoyed it. Speaking of spicing things up or talking junk, what happened with that Panthers podcast shutting it down last week? Was that a local story as well? Are fans and media kind of getting fatigued by this deal?
Yeah, I don't know. I know what you're talking about. It wasn't a huge story here locally that I picked up on, but this team, you know, they have. I have described their fan base as being sort of small but mighty. I mean, they are loyal. Like, we have some markets with the Athletic that, you know, that haven't done real well for us on the NFL side. Mm-hmm. And it's not because our writers were bad or the teams were bad. It's just the fans were, like, you know, a little bit more, you know, wishy-washy, so to speak. And some of it too is like the good newspaper in that town or good shows like y'all's. Anyway, I digress. The point is, the Panthers, it's been a long, tough road here. Like, since David Tepper bought the team, and that really is the inflection point, they have had 7 straight losing seasons. They have not gone to the playoffs since 2017. Which was right at the end of right before Jerry Richardson sold the team, you know, with that public cloud of controversy hanging over him. But it's been a long time. Like, you right now, I think that they have since the start of 18, they are only like a game or two behind the Jets for the worst record over that span. And, you know, anytime you're in the same conversation with the Jets, that's not great. And by the way, the Jets, the Panthers are at the Jets next weekend following this Cowboys game.
Something's got to give.
It's a good one.
Is it okay? So on the TV copy, Schlereth and the play-by-play guy that was all excited, they were calling him Leggett. I noticed you went Leggett. Is there an official pronunciation we need to be aware of for this?
I think it is Leggett. I just messed it up. Yeah, yeah. They call him XL for short.
Okay.
And the guy that the poor guy that even like members of the people in the organization mess up the defensive coordinator's name down here. It is Ejero Avero, but people want to call him Evero. But
Avero.
He's an important. Yeah, you know he's actually kind of a storyline Sunday too, because he came under fire last year. They had the league's worst defense. They were terrible against the run. Canales and Dan Morgan elected to retain him, and they have played better this year. Their defense is, they got Derek Brown back from injury. He's a heck of a run stopper, not super against in terms of a pass rush. If they give Dak a lot of time, and I, even without CD and the other piece of this, the pass rush has been kind of before last weekend has been very moribund, but it also, they really struggle covering tight ends here. And and Jake Ferguson is in the middle, as y'all know, of a historic type season for a tight end pass catcher. So there's another matchup to watch.
We just talked to Jake last hour. Hell of a guy. If you get a chance to talk to him in the post game, tell him we said hi and thank you, sir, for a fantastic job previewing these Panthers for us. Enjoy the weekend, and we'll try to catch up with you next time.
Sounds great. Y'all have a good rest of the week.
You too, buddy. Joe Person covers the Panthers for The Athletic here in the G-Bag Nation. Flagtober rolling on tomorrow. KNC Masterpiece going to be at Taco Bueno. We will be at Cold Beers and Cheeseburgers on Friday. Lucius is going to be with us Saturday, Mansfield Hurtado 10 to 10:30, then Fort Worth Hurtado 11:30 to 12. Hope you're taking notes. Of course, we'll be at the hotel, Highland Hotel in Dallas 2 to 6 for Texas and OU. So we got a lot cooking here, and we got another segment of sports coming up. Isn't that right, Eric?
Yeah, we got a sports hodgepodge where we ask the question, is this the flimsiest, most useless college football report of all time? That's next year in the Nation.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.